Here we are back again. Summertime is over. It's time to go back to work, boys. Player's Voice Barbershop back again. Summertime is over and we're here. I'm your host, Mark Gray, and the gang's all here. So let's go ahead and introduce everybody. We'll start off, TJ.
Hey, man, what's happening? I mean, summertime's over for you guys, but my Chicago Cubs are rolling. So no days off over here, buddy.
And the guy who's been working with me all summer, we turned it into a two-man show this summer. DJ, what's going on, buddy?
What up, man? Back in here. Waiting football season's coming up.
And, of course, the worst producer in the business who's promised to do just equally as bad all fall long. A1, how you doing, buddy?
Great, man. Good to be back.
Good to be back. Guys, we got a couple of NBA stories to get into before we go straight into our NFL season. Hall of Famer Reggie Miller decided that he wanted to come out randomly. I'm not even sure what the context was, but he came out there and threw it out there that he would take Larry Bird over LeBron James. Not much to say there, but we can go ahead and chime in on it. Go ahead, TJ, I'll let you go.
I thought in the context of it, it was, you know, in the crutch, you gotta have a end of game or big game. Who are you taking, Larry Bird or LeBron James? And I pretty much think the numbers speak. I mean, Larry Legend is who he is. The name isn't Larry Legend just because he missed a bunch of shots. I mean, if you go and you listen to the historians talk about, I remember it was a thing Bill Walton had on. He was saying Larry Bird had, they went on a West Coast trip, and I think Larry Bird on a West Coast trip had averaged like 33, 14, and 11. And he said the last game on the West Coast trip was against Portland. So he comes in the locker room. He's like, yeah, boys, you know, we went 6-0 on the road trip. I'm going to play this game left-handed and score 46 points. Like, that's just Larry Bird was just a different animal. And the level of iced water that he had in his veins, I mean, who else? Who would you go? I think Mike, maybe. I mean, you talk to coaches that have, you know, posted statements on NBA TV saying that Larry Bird would tell us in the timeout, I'm going to the corner and I'm shooting it from three. And they knew the play was coming. Still nothing you could do. I think that's a different level of closing that I don't think LeBron had or has.
DJ?
As a guy who's been really critical of LeBron, you know, for a lot of reasons over the years, I'm going with LeBron on this. I just think because.
Hold on. Are you in a game closing seven situation?
Is that what the question was? I thought it was about their careers. Not in a game closing situation. Yeah, it's not even close if it's just about game closing situation.
Okay. Gotcha. If we're talking about an actual overall basketball player, I don't think
that
Larry Bird's numbers is better than LeBron.
I mean, clearly
they are,
but I'm still taking LeBron.
You're going to take LeBron for size, weight, speed. I'm going to take Larry Bird for
basketball IQ,
which I don't question LeBron's. But level his ability to not only carry a team to the edge of the promised land, but then to also be able to deliver in that moment and not defer in those moments. I really, if you go back in the history of your, you know, your basketball intellect and you go into your Larry Bird files, your in-game files, you don't too oftentimes remember Larry Bird passing off to Kevin McHale.
Larry
game
Bird
one.
lost a lot of big games too.
To a lot of great players.
Yeah, and he also had a lot of great players on his team.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's not just like Larry Bird hit every game winning shot, every big game, because he absolutely didn't.
No, but he was in the era of the Pistons team that won two championships, Magic Johnson-led Lakers team that won five. What'd they ring? Showtime won five?
Well, Showtime won five. I mean,
but the Pistons had to get over.
Yeah,
that Celtics were the team back then to be.
And the Pistons
had to get there, and they did.
And you remember a game where Larry Bird sealed a game there, stealing the ball from Zeke. The plays that he's made over the history of time in his career to seal games or come into big games with, you know, you got the game against Chuck Person and those guys, and he has the back injury, and he can barely even walk. Chuck Person says a couple words to Larry Bird, and Larry Bird goes, all right, let me put this back in my pocket for a couple seconds, and let me give you about 30, 40s. I mean, that's...
And I'm looking at the numbers. LeBron's playoffs average is better than Bird's. Bird's regular season average overall is better than LeBron, but LeBron has a better playoff average than Larry.
I don't think you could... This is one of those arguments. Give me either one. I'll take either one.
In the crunch?
LeBron's not going to be in my... No. No. LeBron has been hitting clutch shots lately.
There's been
a lot of great quotes coming out that me and Aaron were talking about it. Steve Kerr had a great one after the championship when he was talking about the difference between Michael Jordan and LeBron. He was basically saying that the difference is that LeBron lacks a go-to move. He's so talented, he can do so many things, but the difference is, so when it's time for him to make a basket, it's hard for him because scoring isn't his natural gift. He said, getting buckets is what Michael Jordan did in his sleep. So that was never a problem for him at the end of the game. And I think that's the difference. I think Kobe gets buckets in his sleep. I think Michael Jordan gets buckets in his sleep.
I think Larry Bird can get
buckets in his sleep. I don't think LeBron gets buckets in his sleep. And Gilbert Arenas's, we haven't talked about that.
I thought Gilbert Arenas's was perfect.
I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. You didn't hear what Gilbert Arenas said?
No, I didn't.
I thought it was spot on.
He said basically what Gilbert was saying is that, you know, LeBron is, you know, a freak athlete, a dominating player of this era when you talk, like I said, size, weight, speed. But when you're talking about flat out killer instinct, going out and just getting buckets that look easy and not really having to work for shots and scoring with ease and things like that, he's like, he's not that. And to him, those are true scorers. Those are, you know, alpha dogs. Those are the killer instinct guys, the guys like MG is saying that can just get buckets. Every basket you see from LeBron, he's working pretty damn hard.
If I got to inbound the ball in a half court set, I'd rather give it to Gilbert Arenas than to give it to LeBron.
You know why LeBron works so hard to get his shots? Because it's 2015. And now what we have now that he didn't have before is scouting and better coaching. Right now,
Gilbert knows, as far as
Larry Bird.
Okay.
Everybody knows every play that Cleveland going to do. They know how LeBron gets the ball. They know what percentage he shoot this way, that way. They know everything. They didn't know that in the 80s.
But isn't it something to say when you got a guy like Larry Bird telling you where the hell he going to get the ball?
But that's all
telling
myths.
You where he gonna
that's all myths.
It's on camera. He turns to, I think that's Paul Silas or somebody, and he looks at him, he says, I'm going right here. And damn if he didn't against the Bullets.
And you know what?
1 foot.
That's not happening right now because guys are too smart. They're too big. They're too strong. They're too fast. Larry Bird won't be able to do the same things that he did back then. No. I mean, I was watching a game last week.
They told me Steph Curry wasn't going to be able to do these things because he was unathletic.
Steph Curry can handle the ball. Larry Bird can't get a shot off if he got the Greek freak on him.
How many times do you see Larry Bird in the history
disrespect.
Of watching Bear.
Cute
that
disrespect.
Was, that was just horrible.
If Larry Bird got the Greek freak on him, how he getting this shot off?
Larry Bird takes some of the most difficult shots you've ever seen because he was unathletic. I mean, that's why he shot that over the head, leaning off wrong foot runners and stuff, because he was that unathletic that he had to improvise.
TJ, it's a different game right now. You got shooting guards that's the size of Larry Bird.
And back then, shoot 40% from the free throw line. Good luck to him. Great luck to those guys.
That got nothing to do with guys on the court just to play defense and stop guys from doing what they normally do. And you got to have some kind of quickness. You got to be able to get your shot.
I kind of compare him to Dirk a little bit. Dirk isn't the best dribbler, but he has no problem getting shots off. You know what I mean?
Dirk is 7 feet.
Yeah, that's true.
Larry's not 7 feet.
No, Larry isn't 7 feet.
So are we sitting here saying that Larry Bird couldn't score in this era? Is this what
I don't like him. I don't like
LeBron. They know what LeBron's gonna do, but you cannot stop LeBron from doing it.
I mean,
I feel like you can never stop Larry thinking you're gonna take a dribble to the corner and just pull up and shoot.
What if he's coming off curls? What if he's coming off pin downs like a lot of shooters get? And he shoots a very high percentage. Leave him open. Then he shoots high.
He was 37 from 3 for his career.
He's shooting 37 shooting all the shots.
Not when you're considered the best shooter ever.
What do you mean, DJ? He's shooting 37 shooting all the shots.
3-point line was further back then, though, wasn't it?
No, same 3-point line. Okay. But he's shooting all the shots. He's taking all the threes.
Moving forward in NBA, one more NBA story. It's been rumored for a while, for the last couple of years, that this upcoming year was going to be Kobe Bryant's last year. And then out the blue, he says not so fast, which I don't know why it was a surprise to anybody because Kobe looked like I just don't really see him walking away like that. So I asked you guys both individually to come up with, how does the Kobe Bryant story end?
What's that name of that shoe in China? What's that shoe called? What's the name of that Zing Bang? That's how it ends. Kobe's going to play the NBA, and dude, he's going over China.
When is he ending?
I think right here, if this, I think this year the Lakers, while on paper with the Roy Hibbert acquisition and, a couple of acquisitions that they had on paper, you're thinking, I think he's thinking playoffs. Like, I think in his mind, he's thinking of playoffs. I think when the ball gets tossed.
Last I checked, they're still in the West.
That's what I said. I think when the ball gets tossed up this year in the West and they finish, you know, 10th.
Maybe 11th.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. Right. I think he honestly looks at it and goes, yeah, Roy Hibbert, what are you here for? Another 4 years? Yeah. What are you guys doing over there in Beijing? I think so, he calls Yao Ming and he's, I think this is Kobe's farewell.
You think he leaves the NBA like that?
I do. What do you mean like that? There is no other way. There are no other free agents.
Nah.
I mean, will you get Kevin Durant to come out there to play with you? Is that really possible?
TJ?
I think it depends on how he does this year.
Bad.
If he's healthy, him.
Okay.
If he's healthy all year, plays all year, you know, scores in the mid-20s, I think he feel like he can give it another go. Maybe they can, you know, bring in, you know, get a trade, DeMarcus cut. Just bring in somebody. You got Westbrook and KD that's coming
Shaq's
up.
Shaq's son, maybe.
You know, there's two sides to that story before you go forward. The money side. Like, in your scenario where he's staying another year,
yeah,
is he taking money? I mean, because obviously he can't bring in whoever it is you're talking about making $25 million. So
right.
In your scenario, does he say, let me tail back?
He's not signing for that again. Unless he really comes out and just have, you know, an all-time year. He's not signing for $25 million again.
Do you think he steps back totally, financially?
I do.
Basketball-wise, everything just says, bring in the guys, I just want to be here and win.
Yeah, if they have a promising year, if they somehow make the playoffs, and like I say, everybody's healthy and he's healthy, I feel like if he feel like they can add a few more pieces that he think they can, make a run.
I think that Kobe Bryant is a much too savvy of a businessman and much too savvy of a historian of the game. He knows where this boat is headed. He knows it. He's in the Nautilus right now. He has his compass out. He knows exactly where he lies in the ocean. He knows I am getting ready to strike the iceberg if I haven't already struck it. He knows he's taking on water. I think he's very kind. He knows that waiting on that NBA TV deal to kick in, maybe cash in one more time, maybe not. And then he knows what lies in front of him overseas, where it's been widely reported and known that he can go over there and command. I mean, just I was telling MG just 20 minutes ago before the show started, you know, Stephon Marbury is over in China making $12 million. If Stephon Marbury can make $12 million, what could Kobe Bryant make?
13. They love Steph over that. He's a Chinese Kobe Bryant.
They call him the China star, but I'm just saying, I don't see Kobe taking a back seat, man. It doesn't seem like he's that guy. And like I said, he's way too abreast of what the financials are within the Los Angeles Lakers. I think that the Kobe Bryants
and the Mikes of the world, and just like everybody else, what makes you great 9 times out of 10 also becomes your weakness. And I think that they're too ultra competitive. While you can sit here and we all know the Lakers aren't going to finish any better than 10th, I'm pretty sure that Kobe Bryant believes they're contending for a title. Like, I think he would look him in his eye. He says, Roy, we can do this.
Yeah.
You've been to the finals before, right, Roy? And he's looking at him. He's like, yo, you can do this. And
Roy laces
like,
up his slippers.
I think I can. And, you know, he's like, guys, the Brandon Bass is here. Like, Brandon Bass.
We got no more Jeremy Lin. You know he was a cancer.
You know what I mean?
How much Jeremy did like the practice.
I'm pretty sure Kobe thinks that. And I think he probably thinks if I can get one more guy. And the thing is, if he was in the Eastern Conference.
Light would only cut on.
The Western Conference, not even a.
Dude, it's
best case scenario is probably the ninth seed.
With the ninth seed, you probably need about four guys to tear their ACLs on four different teams.
Yes, yes, agreed.
Four stars to tear four different ACLs.
For them to be the eighth seed, they need to be 100% healthy, and they need three other teams to be very unhealthy.
Yeah.
Not going
to
happen.
So what's the upside of going to China? There's no guarantee he'll win a championship in China.
I think he already said Deion Sanders. Yeah.
He came
from. Yeah, in Italy, not China.
But I'm just saying, that would be
I don't know where China thing came from. That's TJ.
He can go to China and average 60 and still lose. There's no guarantee you'll win.
I don't think that at that point in time, it'll be about winning a Euro Cup or something like that. I think at that point in time in your career, when you're
branding,
when you're,
I'm guessing.
When you're there, you're branding. When you're there, you're trying to go over there and where they have 20 billion people, you're trying to go over there tap in a little bit of that market.
Kobe's way tapped into that market already.
Branding. I just want to go over there and clean up on it.
I mean,
like somebody, like I heard I have a house in China.
Yeah.
Let's go check it out.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what I think is sort of the thing. Remember when I saw when he went there for something, I think it was a promo of a shoot, and it literally looked like he was a Beatle.
It looked like a Billion Man
just,
March.
Like, just standing outside, and it was probably like, yo, that's pretty cool. Like, I mean, while he's a king of LA, it don't look like that. You know, there's not people standing at the airport shutting it down.
They do that with everybody in China.
I believe it. He's probably like, let me get some of that. I mean, you know, it's probably like a year that wouldn't hurt.
If they were telling you in this scenario and you being pro saying, hey, look, I know, you know, we've been cleaning up over there. You know, we're grossing, you know, 10, 15 million over there. But I truly believe if we spent a season over there, we could probably 300% that profit. Guess what? You're getting on that plane. You're going there. I mean, if Stephon Marbury can sell a shoe that I not know the name nor the design and make $12 million and he averages next to nothing and his statues and the Star of China, what could Kobe Bryant do?
And Stephon's shoe is also very cheap. And Stephon also didn't have the opportunity to really play.
I'm sure Nike can switch up a little material.
Let me.
That's a big deal.
Kobe's shoes is $225.
Listen, not over there. I actually think they aren't they designed somewhere over there?
Let me ask you this, Slim, if you don't mind sharing, without getting too much into information that's been given to you. Iverson, he went over there, and I'm sure it was the same thing. Was there for a short while.
Yeah.
But did he ever say anything to you like, yo, this is crazy, Slim? Like, I'm out here, and it's just like, it's like the U.S., it's like being a celebrity on steroids sort of thing? Or
not at all.
Didn't even care? Didn't phase him?
No, I mean, he's
more like, I just want to come home?
He's used to that. I don't think, I mean, you know, when he was over there, the food, and I don't think there's nowhere he really wants to be. And I'm pretty sure he can probably go do the same thing, but he's not jumping to do it.
Got to be a special guy, though. I mean, Kobe Bryant is a guy that, what, how many languages does he speak? I don't, you know, I'm sure that
his. Mandarin is one of them.
I'm pretty sure that, you know, he would be more, his palate would be more diverse.
I would definitely.
I don't think he'd have a problem.
I didn't know how I was
going to
say that, but that was the perfect way to sum it up. Yeah. His palate is a little bit more diverse. Tease, that's why you're here, man. I would not know how to say that politically correct, but that, it doesn't get any better than that. His palate is a little bit more diverse. Absolutely. All right, guys, let's get into this football season, man. The basketball season is done. Football season is here. This is what keeps the lights on over here at the barbershop, man. Just look forward
Speaking
to being
of the lights
here.
On.
Yeah, exactly.
Or out.
Looking forward to a great year, and we're just going to have a real good football season every week, good show, and just want to do a couple things different this year just to make it more interactive, and more importantly, hold people accountable for what they say.
You're trying to hold people's feet to the fire.
Yeah, are we going back to predictions? Remember we did predictions?
Yeah, we're going
to
do that. We're going to do the predictions every week, and we're going to keep it. That's why A1 is here. It's probably not going
to
be accurate.
I'm about to say, because we have one prediction from every person out of 10.
So A1 is terrible at this, but he's finally got to start earning his salary around here.
Home row, A1. Yeah. Get those fingers ready.
Yeah. So, because I listen to so many shows, and a lot of people, when you have sports debates with people, everybody has amnesia. Nobody remembers saying that. So this year, it's not going to be any of that. You say something, sure about it, we say, write it down, A1 puts it up, and it will be on the board, and it will be things that will be revisited throughout the whole season. If you say, I feel like Jay Cutler is going to be the league MVP, you will be reminded of that throughout the entire season. So
like
there will be no backtracking.
Like I'm at Riverdale Baptist right now. Talk to the assistant principal. Whatever you do from here on out will be tracked. Your report will go to your mother. She will have to sign off every day. I don't know how I feel about this. It's a lot of pressure.
You don't feel good. So, A1, time for you to get that keyboard out. And what we're going to do, go around the room, and we're all going to, before the season starts, we're going to throw out some, well, hold on. I'm going to give it a name for the chart. Okay. Excuse me. We're going to play off of. Ooh, hold on, I messed it up. It's going to be a CUI chart.
Okay.
So not a DUI. It's going to be like a DUI checkpoint.
Yeah.
It's going to be a CUI checkpoint.
Got you.
So we don't want anybody, since we're the barbershop, we don't want anybody cutting under the influence. So we're going to remind you. So it's a CUI checkpoint. So that's what the name of the board is going to be. It's going to be CUI checkpoint. In the barbershop to make sure nobody is cutting underneath the influence. So what we're going to have is we're going to throw out some statements that you say only you are saying, nobody else is saying it right now, and you're saying pretty much you're putting your name on it. I believe this is going to happen, and when it happens, remember you heard it here first. Sound good?
Oh, I'm juiced.
So I'm going to go ahead and go first, and I'm going to throw my first one out there. A1, you're going to keep a track of all these, and these will be revisited.
We all do one, then we're going back to you, then we're doing
Yeah, we can do it that way. We can do it that way. And you guys can either say
that way, so we don't say the same one.
And then let's say we can say I see that happening, or that dude's on, he's on something. Yeah. So I'll go out there the first one.
Keep your eyes off my paper, DJ.
Eli Manning will throw more touchdowns than Peyton Manning this year.
Move the cup. A1, take the cup. Take the cup.
So teach saying not possible.
Take. Would you listen? Knock it over. Remove it. Throw a match in it.
Yeah, I feel you.
What?
So you say I'm crazy. Two say I'm crazy, DJ.
You know how much I love Peyton
yeah,
Manning.
Absolutely.
I'm a Giants fan, but I love Peyton Manning. And I see where you're going with this. Eli.
Victor Cruz, ODB.
Yeah. Eli threw 31 touchdowns last year without Victor Cruz for most of the year and with four games without ODB. So him having all of them healthy, I think Eli's going to have a really
Peyton
good
Manning
year.
Fall is coming. It has to happen.
But I'm just asking, does Peyton Manning, like, have an accident like where he's flying his
I don't
his
know
crop
what he does,
duster,
but it happens.
Right
to
arm gets caught in propeller, cut Brett off Favre, or something.
Brett Favre
play left hand,
you know, 30 something, and then it just
I'm
fell
just
off.
Trying to figure out where it's going to happen.
Okay, that's mine. Okay. It's on the board.
I'm not ready to go there, but I can see that because I think Peyton was hurt last year too, but he just didn't say anything. I think he's going
to
have a
yeah, he was hurt, but that's what happens when you get to this age. You get hurt.
This is true.
Teach, go ahead. What you got next? What you got? What you putting on the board?
This one's a fact. Jameis Winston will lead the Tampa Bay. Jameis Winston will lead the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to the playoffs first year.
And the thing is, I thought about that, and then I was like, I don't want to just be 100% wrong because that's not going to happen. You said the playoffs?
To the playoffs. They'll get their first, his first year starting as a rookie. He'll get his first playoff berth, first playoff berth, and Lovie Smith will get his first playoff berth with Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I thought about something with,
I thought about
with Jameis.
Jameis too.
Because I do feel like Jameis is going to have a really good year. I just didn't know how to boldly predicted.
How do you do it is
in terms of how far to go with
this
it.
Yeah, how you do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he did going too far.
You do it like this with 13 feet worth of receiver. That's how you do it. And
tight end. The tight end six or seven, two.
So you got about 25 feet worth of play out there catching football. There are a lot of guys that can take a lot of bad passes and turn them into good passes for Jameis Winston. I think with Lovie Smith's style of football, which is keep the opposing offenses off the field, play tough defense. Jameis is not going to throw the ball 40 times a game, but he'll keep him, you know, keep the reins on him. And Jameis Winston is a good football player from what we've seen at Florida State when he didn't have to do everything. Last year when he was forced, when he lost all those weapons and it was just him and the kid Green and he was forced to do everything, then you saw the 18 picks. But the year before when they were stacked, they had a stout defense. All he had to do was make the throws that he was supposed to make. Easy ball game for him, and from all reports, you know, they said he's a freaking savant in the classroom.
The reports for him have been, they are, and I've one because it's me, and that's who I. You know how some fans are when it comes to their team, they become unrealistic.
Right,
I become extremely realistic when it comes to my team, and I'm like more. I don't believe it's going. I don't want to get excited. You know what I mean? So I hear all nothing but praise, even from when he was at the combine. It was, you know, names like Peyton Manning grasp of the playbook, and I was just like, ugh. Here
I heard
go.
Today somebody compared him to Aaron Rodgers.
The lineman who says that he played with Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I mean, dude.
I don't know.
I hope
it happens.
I mean,
nobody at this table wants it to happen more than me.
You have to hear the things they say, like, you know, he's already mastered the playbook. Like, he already knows the checks. He's at the line of scrimmage before the QB coach is like, yo, James, it's time. He's already here, like, Yeah, I saw that last night when I was up. Like,
hey, I hope so. I'm
and
not
think,
banking on it.
I think Lovie Smith does more with less talent than probably many of the coaches that have come into the NFL. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Chicago Bears, when we had him, we had a good defense. I mean, he did a lot with less. If you look, you could name a receiver that we had on offense, you know.
That year you went to the Super
Bowl. Yeah, you wouldn't know. I mean, Bernard Berrian, the biggest thing you know about him is his friend broke into his house.
Broke into his house.
Did you hear that story?
Did you hear
no.
that? His former teammate.
Listen, so we're at a cookout, right? You and I go
at the cookout together.
I'm like, hey, look, you want a bottle? I'm going to liquor store real quick. When I go to the liquor store, supposedly at the store, your phone goes off and says your house is being broken too. Boom, you open up your app, you check your app, and it's me rummaging through your underwear drawer.
Wow.
That's what happened. That's like, yeah, that's really what happened.
That's
and
crazy.
He said his house had been burglarized.
Two times.
Like two more times before that. And the dude would just call around and say, hey, you seen Bernard?
He said it was suspicious because everybody kept calling. He would keep calling him and ask him where he was at.
Did he say when he was coming back? No, I was asking because I was baking him a pie.
Yep.
I just wanted to be warm. Unreal. He hates cold pie. He hates it.
That's crazy. Go ahead, DJ. What you got?
Okay. So Johnny Manziel will start no less than 8 games this year.
That's a lot of games, bro.
That's a lot of games. That's why it's bold.
That means he got to get out there early.
Well, I just don't really trust Josh that much. And I feel like Johnny, he's been quiet. He's been humble. He's been focused.
But he hasn't been good.
No. I watched their practice this weekend, and he drove them right down the field, and it looked great.
Two touchdowns.
It looked great. And I just feel like they really want him to play.
Well, if there's two people at this table who know all about Josh McCown, it's me and TJ.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's quarterback right. both of our teams.
Right.
And, I definitely, the door is open. The opportunity will be there. I can certainly assure you that. I told you going into all this, when they first did it, I didn't like the idea of drafting Johnny Manziel and then telling him not to be Johnny Manziel. If you didn't want Johnny Manziel, I don't think you should have drafted Johnny Manziel.
And that's
just my thought.
Yeah. And that's part of the reason why I don't think he'll play 8 games is because they don't want him to be Johnny Manziel. They want him to be a quarterback and not be, take the Johnny football out of the QB play. And if you were reading today, I think they reported they're giving him a rest. He's got a worn out elbow, throwing shoulder and things like that. And when you're trying to fight for a job, as they said, you can't make the club in the tub. You know, the best ability is availability. And so if you're trying to get McNown right now, you need to be guns blazing. Let McNown go out in his first preseason game and, you know, just say he throws up 2 touchdowns real quick, which really isn't hard when you got Jackson and the other kid over there from Texas A&M. I mean, that's just a tall hill for Johnny to climb. I think you'd have to have what Lovie Smith is a very – he first of all, he's a Josh McNown lover, if you know anything about him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the hill for Manziel, not Pettibone, Petting, whatever his name is, he's a McNown lover. I think the cards are stacked against Johnny because of this transgression. So they're – he's going to have to jump through way more hoops to even get the starting job. And then when he gets it, the leash is going to be super short. Like,
well, he's not going to get the starting job. Josh is going to start, but I feel like Johnny's going to take that job. And he missed practice. What I heard was he missed practice basically because he's been working so hard, and he's been getting a lot of reps in. And really, he just needed the rest. He got a little stiffness in his elbow, and it's nothing serious. He just needed the rest.
8's a good number. 8's a good number. 8's doable because I do think the Browns – at a certain point, I mean, you have to know McNown's a career backup. That's just is what he is. I mean, I think he's probably 35 years old now, or whatever the case may be. So,
great man, though.
So once you, apparently, apparently when you do stuff like that and you're in Cleveland, after you get 4 or 5 games under your belt and you realize it's not going to happen this year, sooner or later you have to say, we drafted this guy in the first round. Let's throw him out there and let's see what he does. Eight is about, if I had to do an over and under and set it, I would set it at 8 because I think that's a good number.
Here's what I really believe is going to happen. I think that if it doesn't go right, Johnny will get his chance. But then I think they'll play a little fiddle because there's some quarterbacks. And one thing that's always holds true is that you have to give a head coach his quarterback. And I don't think with the new head coach that neither one of these guys were his quarterback. So I do believe that if McNown doesn't take off with Cleveland, and Cleveland's supposed to be a dark horse with the rebuilt defense. They drafted the kid Shelton, Justin Gilbert, who's so far been a bust at DB. They're supposed to have bookends at DBs. That defense can show, and they can get a run game going. Anybody can play quarterback if you play that kind of football. You know, if you're playing 4 yards in a cloud of dust, and then you're playing a little defense, you're trying to play games into the 13s and 14s, and not the 30s and 40s. I think that's going to be their formula.
Well, to go back to what you said, MG, about as far as you draft Johnny to be Johnny. I don't think they drafted Johnny to be a show off, to throw money signs and to go out to clubs and get drunk. They drafted Johnny for his talent. And if he still can bring his talent to the field and cut out all the stuff that he don't need to do as an NFL quarterback and he can stay focused, I think that's what they drafted him for.
What might be the biggest thing stopping you? Cause I think he'll get the opportunity to start 8 games. But what I'm wondering if you're taking an account to is if they say, hey, man, here's the keys to the car. It's yours for the rest of the season. That also requires him to be healthy for all 8 of those games. And I'm not sure that Johnny can stay healthy for 8 games. I think that the opportunity to start 8 games, I think that's very obtainable. starting them and finishing them and starting the following week.
But I say he couldn't start and finish when he had his chance.
That's, I mean, he's a small dude.
One scramble to the sideline, he took a shot, and it was.
Well, you learn that. You learn that quickly. You don't know until you see it.
Yeah.
And why he might have stopped the money sign, those defenders still see it. Oh, you know what I mean? So they're not going to say, hey, we don't. They, you know, obviously everybody goes 100 on every play, but I think you go a little 110 when you, you know, they. I think people want to hit him. And while he stopped it, I promise you, the defense, the first time he gets sacked, the money sign will be brought out by the defender.
It has to, because of the foundation he laid
right
entering the league. Like, I think, you know, from pros that were there, you know, 7-6 years, they're like, man, this dude is coming in here thinking that this is college. He's coming in here thinking that.
But he's fell way back from that. Hopping. And they know that. They see that. I mean, they see that he's been humbled. You still want to hit him because that's your job.
Here's something I believe in. For years and years, we heard Tim Tebow has changed his throwing motion. He's changed his throwing motion. Oh, he is so changed. When those bullets went live, guess what happened?
It goes back to being Tim Tebow.
And I think that's the same.
That's no, different listen, than from Johnny somebody Manziel's, perceiving the
Johnny
way
Manziel's
are.
Play. What I'm saying is Johnny Manziel's play will never keep him from not being hurt. He's never going to be a pocket guy, because when the bullets go live, his eyes go down and he's looking to get out the pocket. Right. And I don't, you know, you have to be a special athlete. And as much as people try to position Johnny Manziel as this special athlete, when the year he was drafted and they put him up next to like a guy like Jadeveon Clowney and they ran the 40, there were four people that could have been in between him and Jadeveon Clowney and the other defensive ends. And that just showed you how unspecial he really was. I mean, he was just in a system that allowed him to do those things, and that system won't work in the NFL.
That's unfair, because they put a lot of guys up to that Jadeveon Clowney. A lot of supposed to be superb athletes in Jadeveon Clowney.
But what I'm saying is to say that Johnny Manziel is not that athlete.
He's not Jadeveon Clowney. That's not breaking news.
Yeah, almost nobody.
I'm just saying he's not Russell Wilson. He's not
Bo Jackson.
If you're going to be Russell Wilson, but I'm just saying if you're going to be that kind of quarterback, you either have to be a Russell Wilson kind of guy. And he's not that, man.
Next one, I'll move over. And DJ, to answer yours, though, I think that's obtainable. I don't see that as that crazy. I think it's obtainable. I think the bigger thing, I think 8 games will be available for him to start. Don't think he'll finish 8 games, but I like it. I'll stay right there in Cleveland. And one thing that nobody's talking about, and this one is probably pretty crazy, but I see Terrell Pryor making a huge impact in Cleveland. And when I say huge impact, I'm talking, I want to say 800 yards receiving. I think the dude, you've seen the pictures of him. The dude looks ridiculous. And you're talking about, what is he, 6'5"?
Yeah.
And a legit 4'3", 4'4"?
6'6", yeah, yeah.
And from everything I've been reading is about how they can't believe that he looks like this and he's never played quarterback before. And I think, I like it. I think if the opportunity presents itself, I borderline want to jump out there and say, like, he'll be a 1,000-yard receiver. I'm not sure if he'll get the opportunity to do that, but I promise you at the end of the year, he'll be regarded as a legit offensive weapon, difference maker in the NFL. As a guy who was it 2 years? Because was he in the NFL last year?
Yes. Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay. So the year he played for the Raiders was 2 years ago now, mm-hmm. right? So essentially he hasn't had an impact in the NFL in 2 years. So whether he was in the NFL, out of the NFL last year, he didn't do anything in the NFL last year. I think he's a contributor in the NFL big time. He's a name that will be known. He won't be on waiver wires. Let's put it that way.
I'll go with you. I'll go. He'll be an impact. From DJ and I, we used to play the NCAA football. And, you know, we had a little name for Terrell Pryor and those guys, like the freak athlete guys that could play quarterback. And when you saw him run in college, it was like, I'm not really even running that hard. Like, I'm out here, you know, 20, 40 yards ahead of folks. I mean, he's a freak athlete, man. And, you know, off season, you know, they had him training with Moss and all those guys. And to be honest with you, from, you know, being around guys that have played the position, and they tell you, man, the bigger you are, the less route running is about, the less the technician you got to be, because you have more room for error. You're a big target. There are things you can do that Antonio Brown can't do. Antonio Brown has to sink his hips, get out his break. You don't. All you have to do is turn around and box a guy out.
Yeah.
Oh, you run past a guy. You have so much more room for error. I mean, margin for error when you're a big, fast, athletic receiver than anybody else. So whereas same thing with Josh Gordon. I follow Josh Gordon at Baylor. He was not a route runner. What he could do was what he did in the NFL. Run a slant, throw it high, he catches it, he come down with it, you can't tackle him, and then he strides out. I don't see anything why Terrell Pryor can't be that.
DJ?
I think I would like for that to happen. I don't like you said, I don't know if he'll get the opportunity just because, you know, the way his team plays.
That's why I didn't
want to
put a number on it.
Yeah,
because I think there's things outside of his control.
Right.
So that's why instead of putting a number on it, I just want to say he'll be an impact. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think he'll be an impact.
I agree he'll be an impact. I think he'll score some touchdowns. I just don't know if he'll get a lot of receptions.
That being said, it's amazing because nobody would ever think of Brian. But when what's his name did in 14 games, Josh Gordon, yeah, on the, you know, like, unreal. Well, nobody would have ever thought there. No quarterback, no running game, nothing. Just him. Yeah. He's just out there.
But if you look.
You know what I mean?
But if you took a peek at Josh Gordon, you'd say, I see why he do this.
No, you're not.
It looks
like
he's cut out of the side of a mountain.
Yours next, Deej.
The Dallas Cowboys will miss the playoffs.
Doesn't sound crazy. Sound crazy to me.
I don't know. Have you been
that
watching
the NFC East is always like the difference between first and last is like a coin flip.
Oh, no. That's
bold. I'm not talking about winning the NFC. I'm talking about no wild card, no nothing.
Why?
Here's my premise. Is that the DeMarco Murray impact.
That is definitely not a good way to start the DeMarco Murray.
Just listen. What you're not going to get is you don't have a back that can tote the load like DeMarco Murray. Randall cannot. And when you if you know anything about Darren McFadden, he might tear it on the way to the bus.
Yeah. He got hurt.
I mean,
game one.
I mean, he's, as soon as he walked into camp, slammed his locker, he looked over at Jerry Jones like, it happened just now.
Yep.
What?
I mean, with that offensive line, I mean,
that's why
it doesn't much matter.
What it sounds good is to say, with that offensive line, anybody can do it, but that ain't true, man. That ain't true because if that was true.
I don't know.
Listen, if that was true, then they wouldn't have needed DeMarco Murray to begin with.
That offensive line just been put together. I'm going to tell you, how about this name? It'll reappear in the show. How about one, Ray Rice?
Yeah.
Ray Rice and that offensive line, I think they're fine.
I think Randall's fine.
I think Randall's fine also.
Okay. Romo coming off 34 touchdowns, nine interceptions.
Can I get a timeout quickly? Ray Rice hasn't ran a football in a whole year. And I don't know if you have looked.
He hasn't been good in three.
It hasn't been good in 3 years. So listen.
Well, wait.
So listen.
I had him.
You haven't been good in two years, and you missed a year. And then you're going to come back and be.
I got a bold prediction for Ray Rice later, but we'll get to that.
So, and then the second part of my thesis of why the Cowboys won't be good is the antiquated defense that they're running. That Tampa 2 is, I think, the NFL game. And last year, when you watched them play the Green Bay Packers and the other teams, they couldn't stop a nosebleed.
Last year, the story going into the NFL, the entire NFL, was that this Dallas defense was going to be the worst defense in the history of sports. Remember, that's all. I mean, it was dead last the year before, and then they lost people, and this was going to be, you know, to have any chance to win, they were going to have to score 50, and then they ended up being better than
I mean,
than
it was
most,
still a bad defense.
You know what I mean?
It was still a bad defense.
They ranked
them.
A1's going to have the numbers for us next week. But
what am I going to say?
Hey, well, where did they finish?
They were a bad defense.
Total defense. They weren't nowhere close to what they
were supposed to be. They were a bad defense. Let's not listen.
I call that a bold prediction.
Don't put.
Yeah, that's pretty bold.
Don't put powder sugar on a bird turd and tell me it's sweet, man. Listen, it's still
I think
what
that's
it is.
What they did, though.
It's still what it is, man. I'm just being honest.
No, they're not the 85
and
Bears, but they were supposed to be the worst defense in the history
of
football.
So you're down Rolando McClain for 4 games. Sean Lee, by all, may have to come out and bubble wrap and duct tape.
But he's been that way for, 3 years in a row now?
Okay, and then last year you lose your defensive line sack leader in Henry Melton. You pick up Greg Hardy. He has to miss, four games?
I like that. I forgot about that.
I think that was a great pickup. They picked up the kid from the smoking kid from Nebraska, Randy Gregory, who is like a 6'4", 235-pound DN. Brandon Carter had to get knee surgery.
They got a receiver playing DN.
Listen, they got a wide out. They got a flanker playing DN. I'm just saying, like, I got another dark horse that has to fall into that bold prediction later for, you know, when my prediction comes back around. But I don't see the Cowboys making the playoffs at all.
Got it. Slim.
Well, I'm going to stay right there. And I'm going to say, He's looking at the Patriots missed the playoffs. And this is contingent on Tom Brady. I would almost say that's the boldest
one so far.
That's contingent on Tom Brady missing his four games.
Is Bill Belichick?
But you know they're still in the AFC East. They didn't take him out of that conference.
I understand. And that team, the Bills got better. Miami got better.
Bills are on pace to have the worst offense in the history of NFL.
So I disagree. The Bills pick up.
Well, oh my goodness.
Let's not go too far there because that's something else.
And I just picked up Geno Smith jaw off the driveway.
Based on your philosophy, who's winning that division?
The Bills. And that was another bold prediction I was going to make.
Chalk him down for two.
Chalk me down for two. The Bills picking up.
Too many drinks. Yeah, chalk me down for too many drinks.
Hey, that's what it's for. Hey,
dude, Matt Castle?
Bills.
Yeah, put that on the
board. Tyrod Taylor? Put that on the bill.
Sean McCoy?
I do believe altogether they probably throw
him. Percy Harvin?
I forgot Percy was there.
Their defense is already great.
Make sure that is documented. Yeah. And this
Hold
will
and
be
italicize that
throughout the whole season. This will be hooked up to that. So while we're on the That's show, fine. It'll just be up there and it'll be like fine. DJ the 2-13 Bills. Remember when you said they were going to win?
Who did that in bold and italics?
You think Rex Ryan going to go 2-13?
I mean, he went 4-1. Whatever he went for the Jets.
This team is way better than the Jets.
I feel like Rex Ryan traded one. He's in the same situation.
How are they better than the Jets? The Jets had Muhammad Wilkerson. Sheldon Rich, I mean.
And the Jets also had a great defense. We talk about offense.
I think it's going to be the same thing. I think he's going to have an elite defense and his offense is going to be.
The same way.
Sammy Watkins.
I'll give you this.
Sammy Watkins, LeSean Percy Harvin, LeSean McCoy.
You still got to have a quarterback.
The starting quarterback is, who did they bring in?
Me.
It's not EJ.
I tried out last week.
EJ lost, was it Castle?
It's Matt Castle. And they say he's burning it up. Can't wait.
Notice this time of year how many people are
tearing it up? On fire.
Yes.
He hasn't overthrown anyone.
Yeah.
not even the ball boy at the end of practice.
This time of year, everybody looks. I'm trying to remember who it was last year and they were saying was similar. Was it McNown?
But see,
who was it they were saying last year reminded people of Brady and all of that? I'm trying to remember who it was.
Was it
the Browns guy who was
Browns,
ahead of
Hoyer?
Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer. Yeah, remember last year?
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah. He can't miss. He's throwing darts.
Where's he at?
Yeah.
Is he gonna leave?
I don't know where Hoyer
is. Brandon Hoyer is, about him.
He's on his way to the Jets traded facility.
Listen.
He gotta be somewhere.
Dude.
He is somewhere. But you remember last year how they were talking about Hoyer?
Say, yeah. How bad it got for the Jets. They called Rex Grossman like, hey, Rex, what are you doing?
Sexy Rex.
Rex was like, yeah, I pull my tricep in the driveway.
That is a hell of a statement, DJ. Yeah.
He's got
which
two
one, the Bills or the
Patriots? Patriots.
Either one, because they're the same. Yeah. Because the concept, when you say the Patriots aren't going to make the playoffs, that in itself sounds weird because they haven't. But it's like, but then because the flip side, it's like the Cavs in the Eastern Conference. You know what I mean? So it's like the Cavs can't win. It's like still in the East, right? You know what I mean? Like they're not going anywhere.
I feel like Miami made good moves, and Miami could possibly, make noise.
They've been saying that every year. And what happens is the Patriots. I mean. They just run through that whole division, pick up three or four wins outside of that.
You know what happens?
Then you look up and they're 12-4.
You know what happens? Mm-hmm. Every year it's supposed to be Miami. Then Bill Belichick shows up and he's like, yeah, this year we're going to have 11 linemen on the field. We're going to run something new.
If Brady does miss all four, I wouldn't need anyone. I need you to tell me who those first four games are, but I wouldn't be surprised if they go 2-2 and even 3-1. I'd have to see who their opponents are,
dude.
But the Patriots are like they're that type of team that is just like
absolutely.
You just be like, oh, okay. Didn't see. I mean, the year that Brady went down before, they lose a couple of games. And then as you look up and it's like they're 10-6, 11-5.
I think
they finished 11-5.
Yeah, absolutely. They went a whole season without Brady and went.
That's
10
what I'm talking
6,
about.
11.
The first game, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Jacksonville by Cowboys.
Win, and two wins out of that.
I see the Bills in Jacksonville.
Yeah,
and keep in mind, Castle ran that team that went. 10-6 or 11-5.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Matt Cassell.
That's a good one, DJ. I like it. I like you jumping out there, and I can't wait to remind you of that all year long.
Especially when you go 4-0. If Brady don't play all his games,
you mean
I don't count
if the suspension gets overthrown
out,
then
count.
Take
that off.
Okay.
Well, that's fair.
Is it? Okay. I got a couple, so I'm
going to go.
I'm going to go right here while we're at that. Ray Rice will start two games this year. He will. I already heard his name today.
I heard his name today.
With Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
Was that where it was? I heard Cleveland, his name today.
Yeah.
They said the only names that are on the list is Pierre Thomas. That's the only. Every year, was it 2 years ago or last year, you guys started Peyton Hillis on a Monday Night Football game.
Has anyone seen Ray
you know
Rice
what I mean? And you want to talk about somebody who hadn't done anything
in years. And that was weird.
And he was starting
who
on Monday
seen
Night Football.
Ray Rice run? How do we even know?
Hey, if Peyton Hillis can start on Monday night, and he started like the following weekend,
Peyton ain't beat up his girl, you know.
But Peyton Hillis called out of the game because he had a headache. Okay, you remember that? He's like, "Yeah, head hurts."
Yeah, well, that's what happens when that juice, right. That needle in your arm.
I see Ray Rice starting two games, maybe even three.
I definitely got him starting two games.
I can see that.
Except the team that I'm thinking ain't in the NFL. I was thinking more like the Sacramento Rattlers or the Manitoba Sabretooths in Canada.
So you really don't see him?
Just the other day, I was watching Canadian football. I saw some old NFL guys. Brandon Banks is out there with the Tiger Cats. I could see
Mike Sam was out there.
Sam was out there getting blocked into a coma, just like he would have been in the NFL. I could see Ray Rice out there running
zero tackles.
Yeah, I could see Ray Rice out there running that 4.8 on that 150-yard wide field. I could see that. I really could. I honestly believe that Ray Rice could get out there.
I think Ray is 27 or 28 years.
He's 28. Yeah, right. And haven't played good football in 3 years.
He's got something to prove.
You know what he's got to prove?
America loves second chances.
Yeah. I heard in Canada they love him thirds, fourths, and fifths.
Yeah. So. I mean, I'll even you can even put it on the board. Like I said, I didn't say he'll play.
Welcome to the Argonauts.
Go ahead, Teach. I'm going to go back to the NFC East. And this one's going to shock some people here.
I feel like he be looking at my nose.
Oh, he about to say this.
He be looking at my nose.
You on
like
the bandwagon
it.
Here? Go ahead, hometown bandwagon.
The Washington Redskins.
There you go. I knew it was
contend for the division title.
No, you gotta go more than that, buddy.
They win the division.
The Washington Redskins win the NFC East.
Yeah, come on. We're not doing the contend.
Here's why they win the NFC East. Here's why they win the NFC East. I think that what has sadly been overlooked is their defense this is just on paper, guys. This isn't exact science. I think they've vastly upgraded themselves on defense. I think that their situation on offense will be better. Their running game still will be what it is. This will be RG3's healthy season. And I think that Gruden is smart enough that he knows that, you know what, I got to let this peacock fly a little bit, Captain. I think the teams that take the slip are the Cowboys and are the Eagles. And I don't know if anyone has the Eagles on their surprise list, but I think the Eagles take amongst this turmoil, and I don't know if you guys have listened earlier today, or I think that was yesterday, they had two Eagles players come out and say, hey, no, Chip Kelly's not a racist. He just doesn't look at us as players. Yeah. We're just pieces.
Every day there's a different story.
I firmly believe deep down in my heart, man, is that you're getting all these people from the locker room that are just saying these things that it's not just a pocket of the locker room. If you ask me at the end of the day, what is it, a 55-man roster? I'm going about 37 of those guys looking at Chip Kelly like, dude, I'm just here so I can give me a contract and get the hell out of here.
I agree.
And I think at the end of the day, his arrogance, his pompous circumstance, his, hey, Sam Bradford, you tore your ACL twice. You can come here and run my offense. Hey,
I'll take Sanchez. I'll take Tim Tebow.
You can come here.
Whatever.
I think at a point in time where it is, you know, to a certain extent, you look at it, go, a guy won 10 games 2 years in a row, and he looks like he's changing things. But I always go back to the Wildcat, and I always go back to the things the NFL have never seen before on their platform. Give it 2 years, yes. In 2 years, it looks amazing. The Wildcat looked freaking amazing. 2 years, Wildcat even maybe went for 3 years. And because it was a numbers game. Yep. Because they were told you, hey, look, we got 11. I mean, we got six blocking four. Because we don't have a quarterback on the field.
No,
guess
absolutely.
What? It's going to get figured out.
I see Chip Kelly contending for an SEC title in the next 3 years.
And you know what I think?
Like, I see
here's
him
what I really think
contending
happens.
Contending for an SEC title in the
next
3 years.
I think after this year, when the mud is on his face, and then the media comes out and says, hey, do all these things connect? Remember when he said, I can't see X connecting with Y, connecting with Z? And the media comes out and says, this how the hell X connects to Y, connects to Z, because your guys won't ride for you. And then I heard Connor Barwin go, well, no, if you're just a guy that just comes in there and don't talk back and don't say, what the hell are we talking about here? How much do you make, Chip? Wait a minute. Does Chip own the team? Have I? Chip, let me see your resume. When you start digging into that, yeah, you can get you 11 guys that'll be like that. But you need couple guys.
It's called college football.
Yeah, exactly. It's called a guy like this. Yeah. Please don't pull that scholarship.
Right.
I cannot go back home.
Right.
Big Mama is not happy. But you can't
don't
do that.
Don't call my mom.
Yeah, don't call my mom. Right. At this level, you need a couple guys that look out there to go like this. Man, I know this was called an off tackle, but I'm really feeling this cutback lane, and I'm about to get to it. I'm just not going to run it like you want me to run it, because I've seen something, and I'm an athlete. I'm out here every day. I train every day while you're sitting behind a desk, rubbing your tummy. I really think that the Eagles take a serious fall from grace, man. And if you watch them this preseason, training camp, they lost another key DB to torn ACL. And the same thing that the kid called last year, Toasting Butter, was saying, like, he burns us out.
Yeah.
Monday through Friday.
I'll touch on this real quick and then let you go on it, DJ, and we'll move on. Getting back to your original one. For the first time, I'll be rooting for the Redskins, and not necessarily for the Redskins. I'll be rooting for RG3.
Yeah.
The RG3 circus here in D.C. and the disrespect and the nationwide, some of it was brought on by himself, but it's gone too far when we start hearing things like 29th ranked quarterback out of 32. Like, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I'm pulling for RG3. He brought a lot of it on himself, but not – last year, the Gruden thing got ugly. I mean, the guy was coming in. Gruden was coming out, and he was acting like – I mean, not Gruden, excuse me. RG3 came out, and he sounded like a kid. I didn't play well. Nobody did. That's a kid. Gruden being like, he needs to work. I've never seen a coach talk about the quarterback by name.
But you know,
the Gruden thing got ugly.
MG, can I just ask you this real quick?
Yeah, before I even go, I'll just say I think that's very feasible. And I actually, because of the Cowboys, Redskins – and I'll give Slim's DJs the Giants a chance, but I don't think that's unobtainable. Redskins winning the division.
But do you think that the Gruden thing with RG3 was less about showing up RG3 and more about showing RG3? So it's like, I'm not trying to show you up, but I'm trying to show you that, look, dude, all these glitz and glamour and these things you're talking about, you're all right on one shoulder, business on the left, you're this, that. That's not what this football game is about. Like, right. I've taken less talent and done more with.
TJ, sometimes it's not that the message is wrong, it's the way you did it was wrong. And I think what we're seeing right here in Washington and what we saw last year was an immature quarterback and equally an immature coach.
You don't go to the media with that.
Yeah, so it's the same, you see what I'm saying? An immature
Parsons,
from a coach there.
First of all,
I think that RG3 was wrong with what he said.
Your coach would do that. Your old coach would.
What
Bill
he would
Parcells
say?
Bill Parcells would go out there.
He said,
"You call the guy." Yeah, the player
exactly.
Stunk it up today.
Yeah,
it's clearly how the player 80, the player. Like, you can't even give me my name. My mama gave me.
But here's the thing:
I've resorted to the player.
Parcells' resume is what it is, though.
But I'm just saying,
Gruden.
But they come from that same. They come from that same.
But
trait.
It is different. If Belichick go out there and be like, Brady stunk it up today, it's not going to affect
right.
Brady,
right?
Because you know who Brady is.
But that's
right.
what
a guy like RG3.
That's what Gruden's trying
to
build.
You need to build him up, though. You can't tear him down.
Dude's been sitting on that hemorrhoid donut for 2-3 years. Get off of it.
Nah, I don't agree with the Gruden thing. Go ahead, Slim.
Well, I'm gonna keep it right here again. Then my next bold prediction would be
the NFC. NFC.
NFC.
Oh no, he said. I feel like
RG3 will be back to his rookie year form.
So give me a number.
I don't know how far that will take him.
Give me a measuring stick.
A measuring stick.
Whether it be wins, 20 touchdowns.
I don't think they're gonna win the division. I just think.
I'm gonna give you some options.
Pro Bowl.
Top 10 QBR, 30 touchdowns.
Where we at?
You got to put something.
Top 15 quarterback.
I'll say top 15 quarterback because he's low right
mediocre.
Now.
15 is mediocre.
But right, you say he was ranked 29, right?
Yeah, and that was just
and
disrespectful.
And some,
actually,
some people
that was disrespectful.
Last year,
the guy who wrote for ESPN.
Last
you can't
year,
say ESPN because ESPN is a company, but the guy who wrote the article for ESPN.
Yeah. Last year, I was telling guys. Done with him. Done with RG3. Move on. Now, you know, I'm thinking, because he's been humble. He has been in the media. He's been quiet. He's still talented.
Very.
And I feel like this year, cause just like you say, everybody been on, everybody loved him so much, then they tore him down. Mm-hmm. And I feel like now he's humble and he's going to have a pretty good year.
Give me a ceiling. Give me something. Because I got another guy and I
can't wait to give you
there.
This next one. This
yeah,
next
I can't, one. I can't say top 10. I at least say top 15 as high as I can give him, but I think he'll win some games and I think he'll be productive. They won't lose because of him.
Okay. I'm going to go, since we're going to go out there and another guy who's been in the news in the last 2 days, and I think I'm going to put it on there. So I'm going to give you a measuring stick. Cam Newton will be an MVP candidate. MVP candidate. I'm not going to say he's going to win the MVP.
Notes. You sent
you had
notes.
That?
You sent. You know what?
You had that?
Camera here. Let me tell you something. MG is the cheatinest SOB in the player's voice. He goes into my locker. I put my notes in my locker. He has the master key because he owns the shop. He went in my locker, snapshotted my notes, and now he's just reading them verbatim. Back to you, MG.
I think Cam's, like I said, to put something behind it. The dude is uber talented, mm-hmm. and like the and he has everything, and he's seen
the maturity. 15 feet worth of wide receiver.
He does, and you've seen the maturity in different ways, like the press conferences. It's little things, the way you're dressing. Sounds crazy. It sounds like an old person, but he's taking it serious. He's coming to the press conferences in suits. It's little things like that. You notice if you look back in his old press conferences, he's got a scully on and Under Armour. And now he comes and. He's got on a very nice suit. He stays. He answers every single question. When they stink, he doesn't run. He says, you know, we stunk. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. The car crash thing, he tried to fight through it. I saw growth. I've seen growth from Cam. I was not a fan of Cam coming out of college. I thought he was a little rugrat, whatever. And I've seen growth. He's owned it. He's owned everything. The thing that means a lot to me is like they took some tough losses, some blowouts. And he stood there. He stood there in the press conference, answered all the questions, wore it on his shoulder. He looked bothered, and he looked like he wanted to be there, though. You know, like he owned the losses and wanted to be a part of it. He has the talent. I think he has maturity now. This is the year. Put it on the board. Cam Newton, MVP candidate. His name will be mentioned. So by saying Pro Bowler, Moore, this is Cam. This is going to be a Cam Newton year.
I stand here in shock and awe. And totally flabbergasted.
Because you agree.
Not beyond a shadow of a doubt disagree with you.
Okay.
I think that for the first time in a long time, Ron Rivera, who is a notoriously known defensive coach and drafts everything from gambles. I mean, he's going defense starter. Tui, Keekly. You can't even name a guy besides Cam Newton that they've drafted in the first or second round of offense. Probably the last 3 years he's been. I mean, how long has he been? 3 years? I mean, let's say Benjamin, but I'm just saying.
I got big things for him.
And now
I like him
year,
a lot.
Now this year, you know, okay, they had Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen was, by all accounts, one of the top tight ends in the NFC. Mm-hmm. They go out, they get a kid like Devin Funchess, another big target for him. They do lose D'Angelo Williams, but I think part of losing D'Angelo Williams was to say, hey, Cam, you know what? I know we ran the ball first, second, third, and then threw it. I'm in first, second down and threw it third down 80% of the time. But this year, first down. We're gonna put it in your hands a little bit, and what I think last year that Cam did that, kind of circumvented his success a little bit is he stopped being the Cam Newton that he can be, and I think this year with the ball in his hands more, he's gonna have to go back to, and not saying he's gonna run for 900 yards, but going back to the move the chains Cam Newton, like hey,
remember he started last year with two or three injuries, rib,
ankle. So with that being said, I'm sure he probably wasn't looking to get out the pocket too much. I think this year, with the weapons, and if you got those kind of weapons, the biggest thing that Cam Newton can do for them is buy time.
Slim, you agree? Disagree? Seem crazy or not that crazy?
It's not that crazy. I mean, I think MVP candidate is a stretch, but does it count if he just start off the year and MVP candidate then falls off the second half? I mean, does that count? Because I don't feel like he'll be, at the end of the year, I don't feel like he'll be in that top three.
The thing is, I felt like it's easy to say Cam's going to have a good year. I want to take it just a little bit further and just kind of stamp it. Like, I don't think he's going to have a good year. I think he's going to have a great year. Do I think he's going to finish second in the MVP voting? Probably not. But I think at the end of the year, you'll look back and be like, yeah, MG called that. Like, he had a monster year. Monster year.
Yeah,
year.
I think he's going to have a really good year, too.
I think that at the end of the year, this won't sound crazy. Yeah. Slim, yours then. Since TJ, you, I'll count that as one of yours, the same thing. TJ, you got one?
Oh, no, that
I
wasn't mine.
Go ahead, take one. Either one, you go ahead.
Yeah, so my bold prediction is Khalil Mack will be defensive player of the year in the AFC. He's moving to defensive end, full-time defensive end. I think the Oakland Raiders will be a surprise team in the AFC, but I think Khalil Mack will be on the page with a Justin Houston, a Von Miller. He's going to wreak complete utter havoc. I'm booking him down with 16 plus sacks.
You mentioned CFL and Canadian football. The Raiders' whole organization needs to just go and play Canadian football. I refuse to even discuss the Raiders organization.
Listen, you said something, Bo, and I mean that. I really believe that Khalil Mack will be up for defensive player of the year.
I think that the Oakland Raiders literally like should just fall off, and they're the biggest joke in almost sports, I want to say.
Khalil Mack will be up for defensive player of the year.
Good luck to him. And I hope he gets on the first.
I wouldn't be surprised if he have a really good year, but defensive player of the year, I don't think so.
There's this guy in Houston, really good.
Bad job.
go ahead, Deej.
Okay. This year, I think Drew Brees takes a step back.
I'll go further and say I think he falls off.
This is last year
I think he falls off a cliff.
I mean, he's been top three in quarterback. I mean, yards and touchdowns, at least top five almost every year.
No, the stat is I heard it because I drafted based on it and I got killed by it. It's ridiculous. It's like he's finished no lower than like second. Right. Almost for like 7 years straight.
Right.
Last year.
And then last year.
This is last year in New Orleans.
I think it's
this year he takes a step back. He's losing Jimmy Graham.
You mean his blanket?
Yeah, he's 36. His numbers has been dropping every year, but he still has been in the top. But his numbers have been dropping slowly every year. And they've been relying on running a little more.
And Graham a lot. And he's never been a guy who had elite receivers.
Yeah.
So it's like he was always overachieving.
And
you know what I mean? Like
he can really throw the ball. He throws the ball a lot.
Way more out of those guys than he should. Because, I mean, the receivers who he had, they would leave and they'd do nothing. Yeah. And then it was the Jimmy Graham show.
Losing
you take
Sproles.
Away Jimmy Graham.
Lost Steele.
Yeah. I think I'll take a step further. I think Brees
I won't take it that far.
Rough.
He don't fall off the cliff.
Rough.
I think this is the end of Drew Brees in New Orleans. I don't think they took a quarterback that high.
I think this is the end of Drew Brees that we know Drew Brees. I don't think he'll be the worst quarterback in football. But in terms of, let me put it this way, he will not be leading my fantasy team. I will not be drafting Drew Brees.
I won't even. I had him last year. He killed me.
Right.
He'll be top 10. He'll be top 10.
He won't be
in that five anymore.
I'm going to go one more, next one. Not one more, but I got my next one. And we'll move him up a little bit quicker now. Bold one. J.J. Watt's going to be the first defensive player to win the MVP.
False.
I see J.J. Watt getting 3, 4, maybe even 5 touchdowns.
Well, you know what? I keep forgetting. He's got freaking Vince Wilfork now in that nose tackle. That's going
that on. Dude is unreal. And last year, I think the movement had the call for him to win MVP. What killed it is that the Texans were terrible.
And so what are they going to be this year?
If the Texans are relevant.
Did you? I'm sure you've been watching the television here.
Ray Rice is going to be there too.
Ray Rice is going to play on
Aaron Farr. He's playing on several teams in my scenario.
No, they're going to get Ray Rice too. It's a 3-team trade.
He'll play one a week. There's a lot of places he's going to end up playing.
Who's playing for Arian Foster? Alfred Blue.
And I've always wondered this.
Don't disrespect LSU.
If Clowney, which we'll address later in the show. Clowney can get on the field and be anything. Clowney, JJ, Wolf. I mean, oh my God. That defense could be
unfair.
Unreal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you
unreal.
They got Lewis Nix from Notre
Dame.
I feel like with that,
that's going to take away from JJ.
I think so.
Last year was his chance to win it.
What I'm thinking is it reaches that Ravens status and where Ray got all. You remember when the Ravens had the best defense of football by a mile? And Ray's Ravens. You know what I mean? He was the Super Bowl MVP.
Do you think,
you know what I mean? I'm seeing it being that. I see it being JJ Watt.
Better than Buffalo D-line wise? I mean, just
if Clowney can come and do what he's supposed to do.
Is he better than Mario Williams? Kyle Williams?
He's younger.
Marcel Darius?
It's mine.
I can't buy Buffalo
to win a division. So.
I can't buy that.
All right, go ahead, T.J., yours. What you got?
That's all right. This one here is from the heart. And this is all, I'm just going to tell you, this is right here from
Bears win Super Bowl. This is right here from Cook County Hospital. This is right here from LSD Lakeshore Drive, from Soldiers Field. I'm saying LSD. It right here. LSD, and I'm not on LSD.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Chicago Bears will win the NFC North, and we'll have a top five defense.
I'm not even going to address that. Mike Anytime somebody drop. Talks about their team, I don't even...
Because Mike drop.
What's the point?
Vic Fangio is bringing a style. Listen. He did it in San Francisco. I believe he can do it here. You said go bold. I did it. What do you want? What do you want from me?
You went Bears bold.
4-12. It's not bold when it's your team.
No way.
What do you mean? You know I'm honest with my team. You know when we're sorry, I say we're sorry.
Yeah, and your idea of sorry is like 7-9, maybe 9-7.
I am in my heart of hearts, I believe we will have a top five defense. I believe that Vic Fangio and the way he schemes, he's like a Dick LeBeau. Okay. I believe that.
DJ, so who's the bottom team in that division?
I don't know. The Detroit. You can't tell me. I mean, Haloti Ngata, cool. I'm cool with that. But that's no suit. They lost their whole D line. Except for Ziggy Ansah.
Ngata's definitely not suit. Go ahead, DJ. What you got?
I said mine, so I'm all out of bold predictions.
Okay, TJ, you got any more?
Let me think. No.
I'm gonna throw out one more that I had. Two more. Jamal Charles won't run for 1,000.
Why? What happened?
Wait.
Are you predicting a car accident? What are you predicting here? Like, are you predicting a hot air balloon accident
because
or something?
He came out and he said the LeBron thing,
which he is on his team. He realize that Smith didn't throw a touchdown to anybody.
You know what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing is Chris Johnson. I think I can run for 2,500. And I don't even think Chris Johnson has run for 1,000 yards since he made that comment.
Do you
remember when Chris Johnson was the greatest thing smoking?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And was like, you know, this is what I do in my sleep.
He's not Jamal Charles. He's not Jamal Charles.
He's rushed for 2,000 yards. Has Jamal Charles done that before?
No, but when
Jamal Charles got like the highest yards per carry ever.
Right.
Yeah. And if he got the carries, then of course he can do it.
But he can't stay healthy. Listen. Chris Johnson did 2,000 yards in 14 games.
Do you know somebody on Kansas? Do you know something we don't know?
That's what I'm saying.
It's on the board, bro.
No.
It's on the board, bro.
Have you?
We can talk about this all year long.
Have you secretly flew to Kansas City
without injury, he just won't get 1,000 being on the field.
I didn't say without injury.
Okay.
I think a large part of it, I was actually surprised you stayed healthy last year.
You're predicting an accident because you've leaked this brake line secretly.
I think one.
Is this what you're telling me?
How many
Jamal Charles
season-ending injuries has Jamal Charles had already in his career?
Season-ending one.
No.
Yeah, one.
No.
One season ending.
He won't have that for us next week. But he's all right. It's on the board.
He tore the ACL.
So I'm saying he's either going to be injured. It's just not going to happen.
You want to fight?
I mean, I'm just saying it's not going to happen. 1,000 yards, whether it's injury, whether it's just
I had one more ball prediction.
It could have been like 1,200. I'd have been like, what?
Yeah, I got one. And it's not.
So
really
then, if he gets hurt, then it still counts. I got it. Huh?
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. It won towards ACL. One season.
Yeah, I won in college.
Yeah. I got one. I don't know if it's. I mean, I'm gonna say it's bold because I'm stamping. I mean, like a fact. Like not even question it. Andrew Luck will be league MVP.
That's my. We already got that late. Yep. I'm. I don't think that's bold. I am so all in on the Andrew Luck thing.
League MVP.
I think he was the next five.
Luck.
Like I'm ready
for
him
fact,
to be.
I'll double it back. He made back to back league MVP.
I'm with you. My last one, okay. And it's my home one. It's, you know, you got your home one, my home one. I think Doug Martin comes back. I think Doug Martin's back.
The muscle hamster.
I think he's back. Exactly.
Wouldn't we have to get to
he
the
fell
muscle
all
hamster?
He fell all the way off the face of
you know,
the planet.
You know why? You know why? Because the key word is not muscle. It's hamster. It's because he's
tiny.
Yes. So that's why.
He'll be back.
He'll
be back.
Him, Ray Rice, they go up there to the Manitoba Whale Sharks.
He's going
they can run the
Ray Rice is also going to play for the Bucks.
Yeah.
I do see that. And while we got it on the board, so we can put this on here now, definitely be my league MVP, Andrew Luck. I guess you said yours.
Oh,
as well.
Absolutely, Andrew Luck.
Who you got?
I didn't know we had to do this one.
I'm pretty sure I said that.
Nah,
he doesn't read
MVP.
His notes. Yeah. See, I hit that page that he stole up the locker. Yeah. He doesn't know.
What'd you say? You're saying you got to think about it.
I'll go with Aaron Rodgers, a safe pick.
That's not a bad pick. I think that's three. That's three.
We're going to snap that toe.
A1, do you have anything that you want to throw out there? Crazy? Okay, thank you. I got a quick couple of over-unders, and then we'll be on our way, ladies and gentlemen. Are we having fun? Are you having fun?
Yes, but can we talk about... We have not talked about the news today. I need to talk about it.
Go ahead. I'll let you go ahead.
I need to talk about the man that got the ratchet loose in that locker room. I want to know your opinion, DJ, because you've been in locker rooms, and you've seen teammates go to a fisticuffs, you know, Jack Johnson and Tom O'Leary. But I want to know... My question is, can Geno Smith, knowing that, you know, and we're, how we operate in the barbershop, we're a ragtag bunch of guys, and if we were out, and let's just say we were out, right, and MG, and this could be anybody, right, you and MG get into it, right? Hey, well, you and MG got a problem. He owes you a fifth or whatever, okay? A six-pack of Zimas. What is that you like? Oh, Smirnoff Ice, sorry, I thought it was Zima's. Excuse me. So he owes you a six-pack of Zima Smirnoff Ice, whatever else you want, Margaritavilles or whatever, okay? He doesn't give it to you. You start pointing at him, like, where is you owe me? And he loosens your jaw. Can you come back in this basement in the barbershop and function amongst us four? And we both sitting here, DJ and I know, are like, man, MG knocked. A1 the hell out. Did you, like, can you operate in that? Can Geno Smith come back to that locker room? Hey, my point A is, how wasn't it two guys with broken jaws? Because why didn't this old lineman mud hole this guy? So that's obviously his old lineman where he, like I told MG upstairs, like, yeah, he had that coming. I saw that. He should have knocked him out. I wanted to knock him out yesterday. I just didn't do it. But I'm just saying, can you, if you're that guy, DJ can probably speak, I'm sure he's seen a guy get knocked out in the locker room before. But can you come back into that locker room and just sit around those guys and be like, all right, let's get on the field. Here we go. Follow my lead. I'm going to war with you. We're going to get him. I'm going to take it on the chin for you guys. Like, what do you do?
I mean, that's your job. You got to go back in there. It's 50, 60 guys in there. You don't got to talk to all them.
You're the teammate. You know what the respect level would be. Don't you think the air would be so...
No, had it been the other way around, yeah. But Geno getting hit by a guy twice his size.
And he said it was a sucker punch.
Yeah, and by a guy twice his size.
Oh, wait a minute. How's a sucker punch? They said he was.
Yeah.
I will
he
pay.
Was with the finger. They used the word sucker punch.
That's what they said.
I mean, you could argue, get each other face all day. You don't really think a guy going to punch a quarterback in the face. And he did it.
No one thinks they're going to get punched until they get punched. I don't think Geno was like this. You know what? I'm going to put my, I will pay
and no
you.
No one knew his jaw was broken until they diagnosed him. They didn't know.
It was broken in two. Oh, no. Trust me. Geno Smith knew that the way that thing was creaking and clacking.
I don't think it's embarrassing.
He knew it wasn't a tooth.
I don't think it's embarrassing. What? I mean, he's a big guy. He should be able to do that to you.
So I just walked back in the locker room. What'd you guys think?
Now, if Geno, jaw's Geno fine breaks now. His jaw, his linebacker's jaw, a guy that outweighs him by 60 pounds, then that guy need to be laughed
but
at.
The but guy,
the other way
Geno
around,
is,
no.
He's sassing the guy. He's finger pointing. He's taunting him.
You're so up into that finger
yes,
point,
because
man.
I'm kind of like, as the more I think about it, and I'm like, hey, you owe me money, okay? Dude, you sift me on my dollars. You're the quarterback. I know you got plenty bucks. And then you're going to come at me and just give me the maybe I pay you when I feel like it? I don't know. Maybe my hand just does its own thing. Who the hell knows? But I know if I click-clack you, you come back in that locker room, and to know that his teammates didn't get after it, that's like, to me, that's like a team disrespect. Like, that's like, I guarantee if someone went in there and punched Aaron Rodgers in the face, it would be a freaking mutiny in that
locker
room.
Well, we don't really know if they tackled the guy, broke it up, or nothing. But after you hit him, it's too late.
Broke.
He hit him.
Yeah. I agree with Slim. I think you yes. just.
You. Oh, yeah. And if you're Geno Smith, you come back in the locker room, you just look around like.
But you know what? Geno's going to be there tomorrow. He has a job. That guy, what he's going to tell his family?
No, that guy, listen, I don't know.
Still didn't probably get his $600.
I don't even know what that guy's what options he was thinking. Like, you know, if I hit Geno, maybe I'm suspended.
You can't hit the starting quarterback. I mean, that goes with that.
I hit Geno and I grazed.
That goes without saying. I mean,
especially the guy in this position.
You can't.
He left a meal late on the table.
You can't.
Trust
hit it.
Me.
What's still on the
he
table?
He rolled right past his house exit. He just kept on driving. Like, you know what?
Peter King said it best. And when they asked him about it, nobody's punching Aaron. He's like, nobody. I've never heard
that's
anybody punching
saying,
Andrew Luck in his jaw.
Who was punching?
And so it's like, I think
that's
the bigger story.
He also said back then, Roger Staubach got punched in his
face.
And
guess what happened?
Super Bowl winning.
It was, no, it wasn't Staubach. It was,
yeah, it was Roger Staubach. And I knew it was a Hall of Fame. And they traded that guy the next day for a second round pick.
Yeah. But I mean,
but he got hit.
He said it happened.
This guy got cut.
Yeah. I do agree that there's, I'm sure there's some undertone to that because I agree. Nobody's ever punched Peyton Manning, Tom Brady.
But how is
so there's something.
Don't...
But because my guess is that Peyton Manning or Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, they don't owe anybody on the team $600.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
Yeah.
But if you did.
But they won't.
And if my they guess, did, they you know, probably it, wouldn't it, sass them.
It goes back
exactly.
to this.
Exactly.
It goes back to this.
Exactly.
This,
my guess
this
was
is,
that.
If, go to your boss and do this. Go to your team lead.
Along the lines
work,
that
said
that he asked them to go to one of his camps. He went, did that, and I guess he was supposed to be reimbursed. My guess is if Aaron Rodgers asked you to come to his camp, all that's already taken care of. Mm-hmm. So you're not coming out of your pocket, and you're not worrying about it. And the thing is, I guarantee you, if Aaron Rodgers owes you $600, you probably keep that to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would be, and it's the level of respect that is demanded by that. You know what I mean? But going back to nip that in the bud, I don't think those guys owe anybody $600, period. It just goes to how you carry yourself
I
as
think,
a whole.
And I go back to this, and I'll say this. This is why this – A has ruined that guy's career, and this has ruined Geno Smith's career.
Yeah.
Geno Smith will not be the quarterback for the New York. I should have put that in my bold predictions, but he will never be the quarterback for the New York Jets again. It's over. It's done.
I think his play alone did that, though.
But I mean, he had a chance this year.
They was talking good about him. They say he was looking good.
Brandon Marshall
was.
I mean, the best
Brandon
chance
Marshall,
ever.
Well, now his last name is Decker.
Now he's Decker. He needs a zebra.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to ask you a couple questions and we'll get out of here. We're going to do a little bit of over and under. Did you write down any over unders, DJ?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I'll give you.
They're all in my mind.
Okay. Well, here we go. AP, 1,600 yards. Over under.
Over.
Over.
16 is a lot.
It's a lot.
That includes no, that there's no injury clause in this.
Teddy Bridgewater is, I left that off the shocking picks because it's not really shocking. Teddy Bridgewater is going to be a major player in the quarterback industry in the NFL.
That can go on the board because I don't see that. But we'll call that a sweep then. I'll go over. More rushing yards, LeSean McCoy, DeMarco Murray.
DeMarco Murray.
DeMarco Murray.
I don't think – I mean, hell, everybody.
Not seeing it happen for McCoy in Buffalo?
I just don't
no, – I think he'll have a good year, but I think
– I just think
– I think he'll get more carries in Philly.
But this is what I
want to
say.
Remember, DeMarco Murray, last year was his first year healthy.
But yeah. MG, here's what I'm saying to that point is that I believe that in that Chip Kelly system.
Put these on the board, A1. I want my credit for these.
In the Chip Kelly system, between the 20 and the 20, they're the most effective offense in the league between the 20. Because, you know, they play that, but once the space gets condensed, they're one of the least effective offenses in the league.
Give me McCoy more rushing yards. I don't even think Murray stays healthy. RG3 starts 10, over, under.
Starts 10 games, over.
That's injury and benching.
Yeah,
over. Because I gotta go over because I'm predicting them to win the East.
Yeah, over. I'm predicting them to have a really good year.
I feel like this is a bold one. I feel like we're all on the same page and we want it to happen. But
I gotta
really
give one
don't
more chance.
Think Gruden likes him. I flat out don't think Gruden likes him.
But is it?
I'm
but,
even
but,
listening to the press conference.
But is it
the things he says today? Like literally up to the day. And then how is Rod? He will not give that man credit for anything.
Well,
it's
how about
all,
this?
It's like it's like a guy talking about his ex-wife. That's the way he talks about him. Like, hey, ex-wife. I mean. Not something terrible. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way he talks about
minus
it.
Minus
like,
the
mean,
wart, she's
if,
awesome.
If you're into that, that's the type of stuff he says.
But how about this? When you listen to ex-Nate named reporter that went to camp when they scrimmaged the Titans, he said that the Titans guys came out and said, now I don't know if this was by design and they weren't getting too complicated with their schemes, not trying to show their hand too much, but they said that it was pretty easy to read RG3's passes. And the reporter that worked for the Redskins was saying, I don't know what the hell these Dan Snyder hire reporters are saying because today he looked horrible. And when I was going around talking to the Texans DBs, they were like, he's bird dogging. So, I mean, that could be a lot of different things, not trying to show too much, dumbing it down. So, I don't know.
More total touchdowns. So this is rushing and passing. Cam Newton or Russell Wilson? That's a good one. I like that.
Listen,
that's rushing. Because they both getting in on the ground. More total touchdowns, Cam Newton or Russell Wilson?
Cam Newton is going to rip the league this year. Russell Wilson is concentrating on keeping his britches up. That Sierra thing is probably taunting him every night, late at night. Okay? That playbook is right there. Mm. That blouse is right there.
I think they both got the ability to throw for 20 and run for 10.
And then you got to keep the howler just in case Future's at the door. So
I'm going Cam Newton.
I wanna go Russell, but I feel like they give the ball to Marshawn Lynch an awful lot in the red zone, except the one
Cam
time
Newton
when
has
he should have.
Cam Newton before last year was the red zone back.
How about
he
this?
Is the
he does,
red zone
he does
back.
Got Jimmy Graham now, which I think will give him a few more touchdowns. Mm-hmm. But he still got Marshawn Lynch.
I'll go Russell.
I'll take Russell.
I think Seattle will have a little bit more to prove this year in the red zone, in those short yardage downs, because of that gaffe. Mm-hmm. I think this year, no short yardage downs, it's going to be a whole lot of Marshawn. If you just saw Marshawn just put out a little spoof where he's talking about, you know, not getting the ball. I think that's where the game will change for Russell.
So who you got?
I'm going Cam. I think Cam.
You
like
said
I said,
Russell.
They got one running back. Who's the running back? Who else is the running back in Carolina?
They still got Jonathan Stewart. Jonathan Stewart and what's his name? I just seen the big boy. Tolbert was just pulling. He was in pulling them off.
They're going to have a running back regardless who it is. It's somebody.
And Jonathan Stewart plays about seven games.
Carolina. Any team, just plug it in. Ray Rice.
Listen. Ray Rice has jobs in Manitoba, Sacramento,
everywhere. He might be on the show this year. He might see him here in the barbershop.
I got Cam. I think Cam. I borderline want to say double digit rushing. Like I wouldn't be surprised to see Cam do 11 rushing touchdowns and 30 passing touchdowns, which is how I got him sneaking into that MVP candidate. It's hard to turn down a guy
who's
40.
I got 30 and about 15.
That's a lot of touchdowns, what? Dude.
30 and 10. Dude,
he did. He did
MVP for that.
He did. 15.
He's done that before.
He did 15. Y'all know he didn't do 30 and 15, but he did 15.
He did 15. I mean,
he did 15.
I mean, it's at a 2 yard line. It's simple.
He becomes the goal. He was their goal line back. As a guy who owned Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Woods, if it was in three,
no question.
It's him.
Yeah, yeah.
3 yard line and in, it's Cam Newton.
ODB or Megatron this year? Bigger numbers. We can do, what do you want to do for the measuring stick? Yards? Yards or touch? Yards? We can do yards. I guess that's the way you would measure impact. We'll do yards. Touchdowns is, you can do, those can be one, that's jump balls for 1 yard line. Let's say yards.
Yards?
Yeah. Tough one.
For me, it's tough, but I put Calvin Johnson just in another stratosphere as far as wide receivers. You know, like guys were talking about how Dez Bryant got this deal and Demaryius Thompson. I'm like, dude, don't even compare yourselves to Megatron. Like, you talking, your light years. Golden Tate got out there and just like, you know, he's getting a little bit of yards. I got Calvin Johnson this year going off because I don't see a running back in Detroit. I mean, I think they're going to throw the ball more than they've ever thrown it.
I got Mega.
I don't know how you feel about that, but I think the Giants are going to win balance.
And I think Victor Cruz is better than the second receiver on the the Lions, which is
you think
now?
Victor Cruz right now is better than Golden Tate?
Yeah. Yo.
Victor Cruz is coming off a torn patella. I'm not talking about
the gold,
pre-patella.
You're a Notre Dame guy.
I have not. Vic, listen, you know what? You snuck that in.
Cause you
what,
snuck it in.
About the
pre-patella tendon. Victor Cruz is better than Golden Tate.
Okay.
Post torn patella. Victor Cruz.
Have you seen him on Ballers? He's focused. he's got a new accounting firm running for him.
If I'm could be quoted on some stats. Didn't Golden Tate go 4,000 yards last year?
I believe he did.
Like 95% positive of that. He had a monster year.
I don't see that.
I want to say he had 200 yard games in there.
Oh yeah.
He had a monster season.
I don't see that Victor Cruz is better than Golden Tate right now. Right now.
Okay.
I can finish mine because y'all said y'all.
Go ahead.
Thank you guys.
I mean, we couldn't hear you. We're talking to Mike.
Go ahead.
Yeah, 1,300.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with Beckham just because I think Megatron will draw more attention, and Eli's gonna make sure he gets that kid the ball.
I think Beckham's gonna be getting all the attention he needs this year, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. but you got a 6'5" tight end.
No longer under that radar.
You got a 6'5", 6'6" tight end, Larry Donnell. We got Cruz coming back, and Eli will spread the ball, but I feel like he really trusts Odell Beckham.
There's a lot to trust.
You know a little bit.
He gets the ball and screens, slants. He's going to get it every which way.
A little blue stain came out on your shirt. Isn't that nice? You turned into a hawk on me. How sweet.
Hey, man, we all can't pick the same one every time.
Yeah. All right, well, this is going to be great. I, I'm gonna keep this. It's gonna be right up there.
For I can't wait to be called.
And,
you know,
and as the season goes on, when you guys want to give you some spread, whenever you feel like it, whenever you just be like, hey guys, this came to me. I think this is gonna happen. We're gonna throw it on the board. Mid conversation,
can we
say something crazy?
Can we eat crow? Absolutely. Can I go on? If I see someone on the board that I know it's already headed down that road, can I go ahead and just eat some crow?
Yes.
And just say,
and then we'll get
dude wrong. Give me a little plate of veggie crow because I'm a vegetarian, and I'll just dine on the little veggie crow right in here.
This is gonna be throughout the whole year. It's gonna be there. And yes, you can say, hand me my crow. Get my name off the board. Absolutely. I'd like to eat some crow.
Thank you.
Get my name off the board.
You know what?
So I don't have to hear about it for the next 13 years.
That's what I'm more about.
You know,
because I don't want to loosen anybody's jaw in here.
If Cam Newton
I will go Ike Amike in here and just go.
If Cam Newton gets benched in week three, I say, you know what? Let me get my crow, get his MVP thing off the board, and let's move forward.
Absolutely.
But it's just about keeping people accountable, people forgetting that. I don't remember saying that. That's not what I said. What I said was he might be okay.
I got one question.
Go ahead, Teach.
And this is when DJ and I go off on our own, you know, because the barbershop is a little more than football and basketball. It's everything. And I like to call this
boxing.
I already knew where this was going.
Yes.
You know, DJ and I, I like to say we're aficionados. We watch a lot of fighters. How do you feel?
A1's in there too. Don't do that. A1
does it. A1
does it. It's everybody but me.
How do you feel about it?
About what? What Floyd said?
How do you feel? First of all,
two things.
How do you feel about the choice of opponent?
Yes.
Let's go there.
Andre Berto.
It's a cop out
because I mean at one time I thought Andre Berto was really serious. He was a guy that can really, you know, give Floyd some go. Fast, strong.
Before I found out the juice.
You know, he just had a really bad run, man. The
torn shoulder.
His chin was bad.
His eyes bad.
He just started getting really bad, man. In the fight, I guess you want to go out on top. You don't want to go out on a fight against Keith Thurman and risk, you know, your whole legacy undefeated record. You want to pick a kind of a safe fight, but a fighter that people know, but people that know boxing, they know him, but they know he can't beat you, really.
How's
he gonna sell this?
Yeah, you buy every fight. You buy every fight, and I bought Floyd's last fight, and I can honestly, to a man, tell you right now, I will not purchase Floyd Mayweather.
But you'll watch it.
It's free though. It's free though. Right?
No.
They had talked about it. Talked about it,
but he still
no.
He still has that Showtime. He has to satisfy that. I think it says
yeah.
So, A1, I ask you, you're a boxing aficionado. What say you, man?
I don't think anybody is happy with that choice of opponent.
Berto is.
Absolutely, Berto.
It's a one man. I think he's the only person in the country.
What would that fight gross? What would that really gross for Floyd?
I don't even know how he sells that. That's my question.
He sells it as his last fight ever, and people are going to want to see it.
Charity fight?
I mean, dude, like, really? I can't.
I'm going to watch it. I'm
going to
watch.
I'll be there. I'll be sitting right next to you.
Yeah,
I'll be at your house
because you know, right?
And there will be 1,000 people there, and Floyd will get $70 from it.
Yeah, I mean, I just.
I mean, like, I don't see.
Wait, are you really going to throw a fight party for this fight?
He throws a fight party.
I don't care if people come or not. I'm going to watch the fight. I'm going to get
it.
But see, here's the difference. What happens is
I'll throw a fight party for any fight.
But that's how boxing and Floyd works, right? A Floyd fight versus Berto versus Floyd fighting TJ. We'll all go to TJ's, to the Slim's house. It'll be 90 people and it gets one purchase. You fight, somebody like, Pacquiao, people start having their, you know, TJ, I want to see this one. I'm going to have it at my house. I'll say, you know, I want to see it. I'm going to have it at my house. Lowe says, I want to see it. I'm going to have it at my house. And that's how it starts spreading. Cause it's like, no, I actually want to see this one.
I don't see it.
I think this one happens where it's, whoever your friend is who is DJ, the one guy who gets all the fights, everybody goes there versus, you know, several different people being like, you know, this time I'm gonna have this and I wanna make sure it's at my house. So whereas though, let's say at a Pacquiao fight, there's probably 15 different people who always go to Slim's house to watch that fight, but they're watching it somewhere else because they're paying and putting out their 70. I don't think that happens
I don't think
anybody is who's, you know, you follow what I'm saying.
Yeah. I also think there's a splice here. That the Floyd haters, and I'm not a Floyd hater, but I'm also a Floyd boxing aficionado when it comes to opponents. And I think that this also leaves a door open to say, dude, why not knock off one of these young titans?
Why not go get a Keith Thurman and really set the world?
Too risky.
Maybe he actually really feels he can't, honestly.
I mean, then that goes back to the people and the detractors of Floyd Mayweather and say, see, here it is again. Here it is again. There are these young, vibrant fighters that are ready that he'll wait them out.
You don't believe for one second, though, this is last fight, do you?
This is all about fighting Manny Pacquiao one more. He's fighting Manny Pacquiao for 50. Hear this. Hear it here first. He's fighting Manny Pacquiao for 50 to break the record and to make $1 billion.
Yep.
That's what this is about. You're absolutely right.
But you know what? Keep in mind, I mean, I know you never really seen Berto like that.
Who?
Berto, you.
Not even heard of him. Seen him.
Andre Berto. Heard of him. Andre Berto can hit really hard, and he punches really fast.
He makes a lot of noise when he punches.
I mean, Cotto hits really hard, too. And, I mean, if Cotto can't beat Pacquiao hits hard, I mean, Berto, I think, like, 98% of people know that, like, Floyd's going to wipe this dude out.
I think it's
by wipe this out, you mean 12-round decision?
Hell yeah. First of all,
that's what you mean by wipe this out.
MG.
12-round decision.
This may be Floyd's first knockout by TKO, because Berto has like this crazy eye that'll swell up all dumb. He may just jab the eye till he just blinds out. I mean, just.
I'd have respect him more even if he fought a guy like Timothy Bradley.
Anybody. Somebody that's a threat, man.
I've heard of Timothy Bradley.
And I think I've seen him fight.
And I thought he looked good his last fight. I'm not a Timothy Bradley fan like that, but he's tough.
Apparently nobody is.
He'll make it tough on you.
This is what I go back to when people throw Floyd Mayweather as anywhere in that top echelon of fighter, man. And then that categorizes right into the last one, dude. What do you think that top five was about?
Did you see his top five?
Yeah, I did see that.
Roberto Duran, number two?
Yeah, I did see that.
Floyd Mayweather, Roberto Duran.
No sugar.
Pernell Whitaker.
No Ray Leonard.
Julio Cesar Chavez.
He was talking to ESPN
Ali.
Deportes, though. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I don't care if he was talking to.
And he had.
Esteban de Boneste. That's not, it don't matter. I don't give a damn who he was talking to.
He had three Hispanic fighters in Latin.
First
fighters.
Of all, if you don't have Muhammad Ali, I don't care if you're in the bottom.
Muhammad was five. Yeah, it was Muhammad five. Was five.
No, if you don't have him in two or three, I get you at one, be cocky, be brash.
Yeah,
but right. Muhammad Ali is recognized as the number two athlete behind Michael Jordan,
right.
And you don't have him in your top three.
Right.
Where do we go?
Behind Duran and
Roberto Duran.
I just don't understand how he goes to Duran at two.
Is it more of his weight class thing?
To Pernell at
three. Duran quit in the corner.
Duran was a really good fighter.
He quit.
He moved up a weight and started really getting punished.
He quit.
Yeah. He was like, because Duran was the first one to beat Sugar Ray. Well, why don't Sugar Ray get the respect? If he get respect for being the first one to beat him.
And he came back and got his W.
Came back and beat him, yeah.
Made him quit.
I really.
I think it's personal with the Sugar Ray, though.
Sugar Ray Robinson, Sugar Ray Leonard.
I think it was personal with the Sugar Ray. I think he didn't want to put Sugar Ray in there because the comparison.
Yeah. But here's the thing. It was like
you'd be acknowledging that you got, he's in the same discussion with you, and he doesn't even want to acknowledge that.
But here's the thing. If you go to boxing, and if you go to people that love boxing, and that watch boxing for decades, and they're, you know, people that have watched it for, you know, 5 decades, man, Floyd Mayweather is not above Ray Leonard in their book. He's not above Ali in their book. He's not above Sugar Ray Robinson in their book. And there's a reason. And the reason is those guys, at any point in time in their career, whoever was the hottest, latest, and greatest smoking fighter, let's get in the ring and let's do it.
Yep.
And that's why their loss was on their record.
Right.
Because those guys were in their prime, right. and that may have been post-prime.
If you're going to fight Holmes three times, you're going to take an L.
Yeah.
If you're going to fight George Foreman, if you're going to fight Joe Louis, it's almost like one guy playing in the Eastern Conference and one guy playing in the Western Conference and just being like,
I really don't like this.
Because it is. It just is, though. That's what you call it what it is. And it's just like, well, I made it to the finals 6 years in a row. It's like, who else would?
And then them guys back then, they was getting jerked around in their money. They're being forced to fight late in their career, guys and taking losses.
Ali looking like this.
Be in the ring for.
I have just dodged the draft, been in prison. I got to fight who? Oh, yeah. You know what? I just saw the mortgage.
Yep.
And you know what? Let's go. And Floyd takes, I think he takes boxing a lot more serious than them old guys. I mean, he, now, modern day, they know more. And He don't drink. He don't smoke. You know, them guys, them boxers, they was hanging out, partying, then just going to fight.
Yeah, no, it's,
they,
I mean,
they just, they had any talent,
sport.
But
that's any sport. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. It's a business.
Yeah. I really feel like the disrespect that Floyd I'm not going to say perpetrated, but has exacted on historic boxers of our era and post era. I think that's what the things that he's searching for. These are the reasons why he doesn't have them. The love, the adulation that he wants from the overall critics, like overall. That's why this is going on, because he wants the masses to really, you know, kind of conform and say, you know what? Yeah, Floyd's 50-0, 49-0. But the people that are real boxing aficionados go and say, man, you dodged such and such. You waited to fight such and such. To
piggyback on what you're saying, DJ, and what I said, and the way I look at it is not bringing near the boxing knowledge any of you guys have, is that I feel like Floyd was the first one to switch it to. What's the difference between him and those guys is Floyd's the first one to switch it to, like, he went into fights not to lose. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go out here and not lose.
Yeah.
Whereas, though, back in those days, like, you go in the ring, you are trying to win, period. You're trying to beat the other guy up because, like you said, it wasn't a profession. Floyd is a businessman.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about it. Right. I'm going to go in there and not get my head knocked off, and I'm going to win.
I think back in the day, I think it was literally,
like you said, they didn't train like they did. It wasn't that serious. They drank. They did whatever it was. I'm going to beat the guy up because it was a fight. They actually wanted to fight. And I think Floyd was the first one to take boxing and say, listen, man, this isn't a fight. This is boxing. You know, like, it is boxing, not right. a fight. I have right. no desire to beat the guy up. I don't want to send him to the hospital. I want to win.
Right.
I'd like to send him to the bank.
Right. And I can't be mad at him for that. But
what were you about to say?
Doesn't make him the best.
No. Yeah, I 100%.
I really find it.
I think it kills boxing, if you ask me.
I just find it so, you know.
I wouldn't want to get hit.
Outlandishly disrespectful.
But then you don't feel
it's just disrespectful, man.
I agree.
How do you disrespect Muhammad Ali like that? Like, see, that's where the people that, you know, like boxing go like, dude, you talking about a dude who probably, the reason you are boxing right now as a boxer, because of the fame and the glitz and the glamour and you being Money May and that swag and all those, that bravado you have, that started with Muhammad Ali, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, that, see, greatness was in the ring and outside. You know, that's, and I really, Floyd, I struggle,
I mean,
with that,
but that's,
man,
like I said, Muhammad went to win. Floyd goes to.
Muhammad went to win, but he put on a show, dude.
Absolutely.
That is why he's recognized as one of the greatest athletes, not boxers. Athletes, he's the second recognized greatest athlete in the history of sport.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Floyd head secretary. Floyd said that we can't glorify a guy who goes out there and just take punches for nothing.
I felt like that was disrespectful.
That's Ali. Oh, what else could he do?
That was disrespectful.
You go out the game for 2 or 3 years or whatever Ali had to do, and then have to come back and fight a George Foreman to age you off.
But Ali was a show off. Ali, George Foreman, probably the hardest puncher in boxing history.
And he ate him.
He said, I hit Ali with the hardest punch
I
ever thrown.
And he talked trash.
And he told me, you hit like a girl. And after that point, how do you continue to fight if you know that you used to knocking everybody
for rounds,
out?
For rounds.
I mean,
yeah, you for hit rounds. This guy.
Frazier jumped off 2 feet when he hit him.
Said he hit him for rounds. And that's part of the reason. And the thing is, I mean, trust me, I know he didn't. I know when he got hit by George, he didn't think it hit like a girl, but he said that's what he told him, and he beat him mentally.
He beat him.
You know what I mean? I bet you that didn't hurt so bad it wasn't even funny. But he was determined to not let him know that.
The whole world thought Ali. They say people in this camp thought he would actually die in that ring.
But see, and that's why I go with the disrespect. That's why I draw, like, dude, Floyd.
Nah,
I don't understand. I understand you got a half a billion or whatever you got, but dude, you got to take your hat off to a guy you've never been in the ring.
Yep.
That lopsided. That would be like you when Paul Williams was alive, jumping in as a young Floyd Mayweather, jumping in against Paul.
Not
Williams.
Really. Paul just got the reach, but nobody hit.
I'm just saying that would be the difference if you could say, you know, you had Paul Williams at that time.
That's like him getting in there with like Triple G right now.
Yeah, like you're not gonna do that. You know exactly. And him knock
Triple G out, not even win, just knock him out.
Right. Yeah. All right, man.
That was a good show, man. Woo.
That was fun, bro.
I got to put on some deodorant.
I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready for a good football. I'm ready for these things to start coming off this wall, man.
Don't worry. I know one that won't.
I'm ready.
Chicago football band's riding, baby.
That's going to be the first one off by October.
The first one.
By October, that one will be him and I play the crow. Hit the delete button.
Tell you something, man.
Get him up off.
I always say this.
Matter of fact, next week's show, I want to start talking about the first things to come off the board.
Cheese on the moon, bring your crackers. If I tell you a duck can pull a truck, hook it up. Yeah, okay?
Right. I can't wait to see this list grow.
I've only got one questionable statement on there, and I'm not too sure about it, and that's my Khalil Mack. But I just believe in it. I went on YouTube. I challenge you, go on YouTube and just watch Khalil Mack highlights last year.
He is the first player to ever have really good college highlights. Nobody's ever had.
I'm talking about last year he was a rookie with the Raiders.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying nobody's ever had. I like it, man. I like it, man.
I like it. I don't like you. I don't like you.
Looking forward to a good show. All right, everybody. A1, tell them what to do, man. Tell them what they got to do. TJ, you can tell them.
Hold on, A1. Let me do my MG impersonation real quick.
Go ahead, tell them.
Hold on. A1.
We should probably start the show with
this. How they download the podcast? What's that joint they do? The store. You go to Apple Store, the Android Store. You go to Android Store, you download playersvoice.com. All right, got that out now. That should be like that intro to the show, like you doing that. I really think that would bring that is something that's history. We could research that and get the same playback.
It's like Russell Simmons with the. It's like God bless a good night. Yeah, God bless a good night.
You were just A1.
Just make sure everybody.
It's the smack that got me. I gotta go back and review. Dude, just A1. Something that you probably will do before the end of the year. We need like all the snippets and just put them in a row. How many times he did that? Like how many weeks straight he just did? A1. What's that joint called again? and then we'll just run that.
Yeah. All right. See, now you don't even make me want to say it, man. go to.
He's about to do it.
His
brain is like, this
go
is what
to
we
the
do.
iTunes store, download the.
Look,
the podcast.
Listen.
It's The Barbershop.
The Barbershop.
Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, The Barbershop.
What if I have a.
It's on. It's on the Android store. It's called The Barbershop there, too. And I can't even do it anymore because you already messed me up, man. No matter what I say, it's going
to
be wrong.
We just want to
but
see
just
it.
Make sure you download the podcast, iTunes Store, and the Android Store, Barbershop. And you can always go on the website, playersvoice.com. It's right there. Click on it, and it'll show you how to subscribe. Make sure you subscribe. If you listen to the show every week, or you never listen to the show again, just make sure you subscribe. We just need the credit for the subscription. And download the show every week. And I think you're going to love it. It's going to be – I put this on the board. This is going to be the best sports show that you have all year. I promise you. If you listen week to week, you're going to you're going to enjoy it. You're going to be in for a treat.
Not worried about what Kim Kardashian is doing, dude.
Yeah, this is going to be the only sports show that you tune into that is just straight sports. It's just really straight sports.
And see what people don't realize. It's a bunch of comedy in sports.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of laughter in it.
It's going to be laughs. It's going to be sports. And it's going to be debates. But it's not going to be any gossip. And that's what makes us different than everybody else. It's not going to be any gossip. That's all. So thank everybody for tuning in. We look forward to entertaining you all fall along. Anything anybody want to say before they get out? DJ?
Nope.
TJ?
Preseason starts Thursday. Watch the defense.
Preseason. All right, A1, anything you want to say? Okay. All right, thank you guys, everybody. See you guys next week?
Next week. I don't see why not.
Next week, guys. Take care.